This is Devin.
And this is Elmer.
Welcome to the Forum Journey Podcast.
Devin, it's a beautiful day here in Centralia, Washington, right?
It is. Yeah, guys. Welcome to the Forum Journey Podcast. We are back with you. And I hope you've enjoyed the vocation for mission. And
it's fun. It has been fun to talk with people who are out and about and just doing their regular life and doing Jesus.
Yeah. It's,
and in their work, at home, and at play.
Yeah. And so if you guys, if discovering where God's at work in your vocation, your career, and your work, we would love to hear it.
Totally.
We'd love to celebrate what God is doing in your everyday. Yeah. And even if your work is something going on at home. Yeah. And you see God at work there, share it.
Yes, totally.
I'll always share, like, my neighbor, this relationship.
It's funny you should say that, Devin.
Blooming.
Tammy Woodard, we interviewed her a couple months ago. I was meeting with her the other day, and she's talking to me, and she's like, yeah, I'm on vacation, and God is just, like, showing up. And I'm like, oh, wow.
Did she think she was taking a break?
I think she thought she was taking...
Lord, push pause. Let me rest.
I think she was on vacation, but she wasn't. And God just... And I said, hey, if God's wrecking you, I'm okay with that. And she goes, I know you are. And that's the problem.
Yeah.
But it does. Sometimes he shows up at the time when we don't expect him.
Well, but, and it's always good.
But when we're looking, we need to be intentional in looking for him.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think she was. I think she was intentionally looking and thought, oh, wow, this might... No, it's not might. It is. It's got to work.
Got to work, and we get to join in.
Yeah.
So when we recognize. So, today we've got a special guest with us.
Yeah, it's crazy. And it's funny because I think back, Lloyd Moretz. Lloyd, how long have you been the P&A pastor for pastors?
15 years this fall.
Wow. That's crazy. Yeah. That's crazy. And I think, Lloyd, it was the connect. In fact, it's probably you. It is you. Now, you're the reason why I went to the workshop for 3DM.
You're putting this on Lloyd's shoulders?
No, because he called Mark. He called Pastor Mark, and Pastor Mark called me into his office. Lloyd, that's what he did. He called me in the office and said, Elmer, let's go to this workshop on a Monday and Tuesday. And then what he said was, oh, I'm not going. You're going. It's like, I'm not taking my day off. I'm going to be at the Redhead. So I found the workshop in Portland, because I'm and did I ever tell you who I sat with?
Yes.
There's hundreds of people there, and I sit next to a Shrout. I don't know which one was it.
David.
Yeah, yeah. David Shrout's there, and I'm like, of all the places I could sit, there's only two Church of God people here, and we sit next to each other.
Not even assigned seating.
Yeah, I know.
It's almost just like a moth to a light.
It's like God's sixth sense of humor. So Lloyd, tell us a little bit about you, family. And before we dive into missional community, because that's kind of where your heart is.
Yeah, thanks, Elmer and Devin. Great to be here. Lloyd Moretz. I am the executive director / regional pastor for the Pacific Northwest Association of the Church of God, which is a network of churches across Washington State, northern Idaho, northeastern Oregon. And... so I've been doing this for, as I mentioned earlier, almost 15 years.
And that's amazing.
Been enjoying that cool. Work. Yeah, live in the Yakima area.
Okay.
My wife and I live there. And
grown kids, correct?
Yeah, three sons and their families all live in California.
Okay.
And that includes five grandchildren. So we make frequent trips and lots of online connections with them.
FaceTime,
so,
baby.
Honestly, it's going from the Palm Springs of Washington, which is nicknamed.
Oh, that's true.
It's given by a private residence in Yakima. Yakima is the Palm Springs of
Kayleen
Washington.
Loves Yakima.
And then you get to go down to California to visit.
Yeah, not quite
family,
Palm Springs, but California.
Yeah, it's close. Give us some interest, Lloyd. Tell us, just first of all, what's your love?
Well, right now, up until last night,
the shoe's going to drop on this.
Night, my interest was hockey, because I'm Canadian.
Oh, yes. No, this is true.
And so hockey's a big thing. And my team just got kicked out of playoffs last night.
Okay. And what's your team?
The Edmonton Oilers.
Oh, Oilers. Yeah. Okay. Nice. Okay.
Originally Wayne Gretzky, and now the amazing Connor McDavid, who is the new Gretzky of his
is it really? So. Okay. All right. But I don't follow hockey. I do have a son, and his wife and kids love the Blackhawks. Oh, yeah. So they've gone to the Blackhawks parades when they've won and things like that. So
yeah. So hockey is a big thing. And then I have a really weird hobby I'll just mention briefly, which I don't even know if you guys know this. Do you guys know what my strange hobby? Yeah.
Devin does.
I collect cereal boxes. I'm fascinated with nostalgia and the marketing behind cereal. And I have like somewhere around 3,000 boxes of cereal in my house.
Full?
Not all of them. No, probably only have maybe 300 that are full.
Unopened.
Wow.
The rest are all flats.
Okay.
But anyways, that's a whole other story for another day.
It's funny because I
somebody's going to be looking for that collection.
Here is a cereal squirrel. So I watch Big Bang Theory once in a while. I don't know if you ever watched it or not. I'm not suggesting that you do.
We're all judging you right now.
Good. Go ahead. But there's a scene in there where Raj is talking about cereal, and he's saying that all of the characters are males. And he just goes through, and he keeps naming all of them. And I just thought, I never thought of that until I watched that episode.
Yeah, very few female
icons. So, yeah. I mean, and unless it's, what's her name, from Wheaties, back in the 80s.
Well, special characters. Oh, I mean, special features.
The Olympians.
Probably the closest would be Pebbles.
Oh, yeah.
That's probably the only.
Totally. Fruity Pebbles?
Fruity Pebbles. You can remember Pebbles and Bam Bam, and Pebbles is the girl. And
yeah, she had Pebbles.
The cereal is named after her.
Right. Yeah, it's a good call. Good call. He didn't name her. All right. We'll get off the cereal. Okay. Just minor detail.
All right. So we are here to talk about missional community. And we are. We recognize that the gathering that happens within missional community and what it provides, not only for the individual, but the community that meets together, but also the community at large, those that are around or the ones that they're engaging with. But maybe since we're beginning this conversation, just explain to us just how did this missional community journey begin for you?
10 years ago this year.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I was in Europe. I was on sabbatical at the time. And one of the things that I did as part of our travels, my wife and I went over there and, you know, in addition to seeing family and doing some, you know, looking around.
Right.
I wanted to connect with, I'm always interested to see what God's doing in different places. And so we had set up a few locations where we could visit just to see some churches and some people that are doing innovative ministries. And we were in Berlin in Germany, and we're just blown away by some new approaches to doing church, because in Europe in particular, which is a largely considered post-Christian, post-modern part of the world where they've rejected a lot of institutional Christianity, that there's some innovation that's happening. And so we were there, and we got to experience and visit and talk to and just see and hear stories of what was happening in a ministry that, you know, that was taking place in Berlin at the time. And it just got the wheels turning. It was like, wow. I've always been interested in, well, I've always believed that the church has to find fresh, new expressions of itself. Well, possibly, yes, possibly even podcasts. Right, I mean, years ago, I was involved and I was a church planter. I was dabbling in what was called the meta church, and we won't even have to get into what that's all about. But so I've always been kind of looking at this kind of stuff. But when I saw, and especially considering the fact this was in a post-Christian society and thinking of where I am here in the Northwest and thinking we're just heading down that same pathway regardless, there was a lot to learn.
Yeah.
And so I came back and then just started doing a lot of research, reading, digging around, finding out that actually the Northwest has been a hotbed for missional community innovation. And it just set me into a lot of different places to look.
Is that where you
discover.
Found 3DM?
Yeah, it was. It was through a friend of mine, who is now really a close friend, wasn't a close friend back then, but had talked to him, and he was the one that as I was sharing my heart and telling him my experiences, he says, well, man, you got to look at this 3DM thing because, you know, they're doing missional communities.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. That's cool. Cool.
Yeah. And so even your doctrinal work was... really the thesis, correct? That it was based on, you know, I mean, maybe, but rather than me trying to explain what your doctrinal work thesis was, maybe you...
I had just started 10 years ago. Actually, it was 10 years ago that I had started my doctoral work, work towards my degree. And it was really fascinating because when I started this, I wasn't even sure what I was going to do my final work on. But it became very evident to me, maybe not right when I was in Europe, but soon afterward, and I was piecing things together, that this was an area that I was fascinated with. So my final doctoral project was on missional communities in the Pacific Northwest. And I did an extensive study, qualitative research on at that time, it's been 5-6 years ago, but on how missional communities were functioning here in the Northwest. Yeah. And really trying to learn a lot as to both what the ideals are and what the realities are, and the good, the bad, and where there's areas for growth, so we can learn from that. So because we're trying to do the same thing. I've been part of a new missional community work in Yakima, and there's some others that have started. We're trying to learn all that we can so that we can do this well.
Yeah, good.
What have been your successes with your experience as far as in Yakima?
What happened in Yakima was we had an existing congregation that was nearing the end of its life cycle, and it had tried everything they could imagine to try to revive themselves, and we had a solid group of core people, and just feeling like, hey, the traditional model isn't going to work.
Right.
Here are some people that they love God, they love each other. And if we could just reorient that around mission, there would be some opportunities. Totally. So yeah, it's been great. And it's still functioning and going. And even with COVID, we've learned a lot, and there's certain things, always things, hey, wish we'd have done this differently. Definitely. Or we learn, but
Devin and I do everything perfectly, by the way.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. For my wife and I, we're part of it. I mean, when I'm around, certainly we participate actively in it, and it's been a joy.
And is that where the transformational communities, I mean, this is based out of that, I suppose, model, missional community of going.
Right. Yeah. It's called transformation communities. And we've had some others launch, like in places like Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, and actually there's several others that are in the planning stages right now. But it's all based on a missional community model.
Yeah.
Explain to our listeners what that model would look like.
Well, what is missional community? Basic definition. Yep. What is a missional community? Because it sounds on paper really good, and people might be scratching their
lots
heads.
Lots of stuff sound really good on paper.
Yeah, exactly.
It's messy.
Start living it out, and you're like, I don't remember this bullet point.
Yeah. Technically, a missional community is a medium-sized group, which basically means anywhere from probably 20 to 50 people, basically followers of Jesus who orient their lives around mission.
Yeah.
And in its shortest form, and there's a lot more that could be said. And so that's that, there's a couple of things. Part of it is its size, the social dynamic that's part of that. But I think a big piece of it is, and this is one, and again, I could get into a lot of
research findings
so forth, but I think this is where there has probably been the biggest struggle with missional communities, because a lot of people equate them to small groups that exist in churches. Like most churches have gone to like small groups, Bible studies, whatever you want to call them. And they look at what we're doing in missional communities and say, well, that's what we're doing anyway. I mean, what's different with what you're doing than what we're doing?
Yeah.
And there are major differences.
Sure,
one is the social dynamic of the size, and I don't want to get hung up on that, but there are some specific things to do with the...
small enough to care, but big enough to...
Get something done.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
So the phrase is small enough to care, big enough to dare. Collectively, absolutely. We could do something more than a group of six.
Right, right. Yeah, and the other problem with a smaller group, say, you know, 12 and under, the focus becomes really...
Inward.
Yeah, inward because totally. Of the intimacy of the relationships.
Right, yeah, right.
And I think that's one of the things that makes a small group in a church different than a missional community. Part of it is the inward focus. And that inward focus then also means that it doesn't have an orientation toward mission. In this case, what should be driving right. the missional community.
What should be common is the fact that they are on mission together.
Yeah, that God has called us to something and that we have identified what it is that God has called us to and how we're going, you know, and then, therefore we're devoting our energies and our attentions to that. It doesn't mean we're not doing other things. It doesn't mean we don't have good fellowship. It doesn't mean we're not... we're not worshiping God. It just means that we believe that God has called us to be part of His mission in the world, and we want to be actively part of it.
Totally. Okay. Yeah. That sounds familiar, though, doesn't it?
I was going to say, yeah. It was almost a mic drop.
Do you want to just tell them what you're thinking?
What am I thinking?
You're talking about when we start from traditional to corporate to God's mission as a church.
Yeah, sounds like. Yeah, sounds like our, you know, the various views of God and the church.
Yeah.
And if the church is at the center of this view of God and the church, then yeah, we go to the church is the purveyor of the spiritual goods and services. But if God's at the center of our view of God and the church, then the church orients itself around God and His mission in the world. Yeah. And it's a very different way of living and living out our walk in Christ and our faith.
Yeah. Because our at the core of our theology is that God is on mission.
Correct.
God is on mission to love and extend that
and
love
redeem
Christ to the entire world.
Yes.
And therefore, we're called to do that as well. And I'm not against worship, and I hope that anybody listening to doesn't hear what I'm saying. The worship of God is vital. I mean, God is our source of our life and our being, and therefore we need to worship Him. But I think we've hidden a lot of times behind worship.
Totally.
Is that we've given it so much attention, and now it's become, there's a whole industry around it. It's almost like worship is entertainment as opposed to, again, that doesn't mean there isn't sincere worship, but when that's all there is, then it dilutes our ability to be part of the mission that God has called us to.
Or lessens the priority there of, being a part of God's mission in the world. What are you excited about? What's going on in your world?
Well, I think right now, especially COVID and hopefully post-COVID, that there has been a definite time of reflection for many congregations to look at themselves and ask the question, can we do church the way we've been doing it?
Yeah.
I know a year ago, everybody was trying to figure out how to stream their services. That was like the big challenge. Right. You know, how can we get on?
We had Danielle. So we were.
She took care of us.
She took care of us.
Yeah, you guys are.
But not everybody had that.
No. You guys already had. You know, technology was part of your equation, but smaller churches were scrambling. So the big thing was, you know, let's get online and do that kind of stuff. And I get that. That's an immediate concern. But now that we've been doing this for like a year or so, I'm hearing a lot of pastors and churches that are just asking this question, like, what's next? Because church is not going to be the same. I mean, our world isn't going to be the same in many ways. I mean, there's...
I think I saw the stat by Barna, 33% of people aren't coming back to their regular services.
Yeah, well, that's what we're saying so far. That's at least the case. Yeah.
They're just like, hey, we're checking out because we...
So, Lloyd, do you see that what you experienced when you were in... It was Germany, right?
Yes.
But in Europe, 10 years ago, do you see... even as we come out of this global pandemic of churches asking the question, can we go back to what we did before? Can we continue doing what we did before? Is there something new? Do you see that as that this is an opportunity for that conversation of, you know, what is it that...
Because I don't want to go back, Lloyd.
Yeah, well, no, but some do want to go back to Egypt.
Boy. That's a mic drop.
There it is.
Well, but the way things were, because I think that was, you know, the children of Israel, there was a time when they were, you know, wandering around the wilderness and going, man, we should have stayed where we were.
Where we had food and
we had straw. We didn't have straw, but we could still do it.
But I think, so I think there are those that still are yearning for what was.
Sure.
But I think increasingly people are seeing that something's going to shift.
Okay.
Even though they may not want it or desire it, that there's a recognition that we have to look at life differently. And I don't want to just be reactive, but this is an opportunity for
reflective,
the church,
though.
Yeah, to look at this and go, what is God saying to us? You know, I mean, what's an operative question that you guys obviously ask a lot? And I'm with you on that.
What question is that? I don't know.
what's God saying to us?
Not one of our disciples would know what that means.
Right. what's God saying to us? And certainly this is a moment, if there is ever a time for Kairos, it's now to say, what is God saying to us and what are we going to do about it? And so I think there's
and that's a big challenge.
Oh, it is. Yeah. And I don't think I don't think
I'm not trying to be dismissive by saying I don't want to go back, but because I do recognize this is going to be scary.
It is. Yeah. There's real human emotion and investment that is tied into this. And so we just have to recognize that, even to hear God's voice in the midst of this can be very difficult because, sometimes I don't even know if we really want to hear it because it might mean that we have to shift out of our comfort zone in significant ways. So I think, what am I seeing now is I see opportunity. I see that here's an occasion for us.
Hey, Devin, let's put a wrap on this.
Yeah. Well, Lloyd, thanks for being with us. Totally. I appreciate this conversation.
Thanks for having me.
You're amazing. Thank you for your leadership in our, statewide, but just leadership and just with discipleship, because I know that that's big on your heart. And just some of the things that as you encourage pastors and navigate that. So it's awesome. Great to have you.
All right. We're about two things, Elmer.
What are they?
Reproducible discipleship.
And kingdom stories.
All right, guys. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
This podcast is produced by Ian Goodell. And if you would like to contact us, visit formjourney.com as well as Facebook and Instagram. We would love to hear your kingdom stories. And thanks for listening. God bless.